This morning, we're going to be continuing our sermon series on hope. Last week, we looked at hope in the midst of suffering, and today we're going to look at hope when things appear hopeless. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 16 as we look at the story of Abraham today and see how we can find hope when things seem hopeless. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Let's pray. Father, I know that many of us today are going through some difficult times. And God, I just pray that as we study your word and look at the life of Abraham, that today you would give us hope as we see the faith that we can have in you and in your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. The BBC carried on their website a story about a mother who was writing about her son. She shared that even though he was a little carefree and mischievous, he was a hard worker, and he ended up getting into an English university. They were very proud of him, and so the parents went to the university that day and dropped him off. But sadly, they didn't hear much from their son as he was attending the university. When the holidays came back and he came back, he seemed normal. But when he went back, they again didn't hear very much from him, and he never returned their phone calls. When they called the university to check on how he was doing academically, because of privacy laws, they weren't able to get much information. The second year he ended up going there, he ended up dropping out, and he tried to become a fireman. But he ended up failing at that, and so he ended up getting a low-level clerk job. But he would always tell his parents that things seemed to be going good and were getting better. His parents ended up going on a small vacation and ended up coming back home, and there was a note that was left on their door from the police that asked them to make a phone call to them. It was in that phone call that they shared the news, tragically, that their son, who was 20 years old, ended up taking his life. The mother titled the article that she wrote on this website, "I wish I told my son he could start again after dropping out." And while this guy had a lot of friends and a lot of family who loved him, the one thing he didn't have was any hope. Sadly, there are many people today that don't feel like there's a lot of hope out in this world. This is a dark time. It's a sad time. It's a depressing time. Not only are we dealing with this virus, but the pandemic is leading to a lot of job shortages. It's leading to a lot of isolation. And with that comes depression and addiction. And after that, often we see that people come into hopelessness. And today I want to share with you that there is true hope because of God and his son, Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at the story of Abraham and to see that there is hope. And so let's look at the story of hope that we see through the life of Abraham. Abraham, we see, was approached by God, and he was called to leave his family and his home and to go with God, and that God would start a nation through him. We read in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, this required a lot of faith of Abraham. He was about 75 years old when he left Haran and ended up being able to answer this call. And his wife was about 65 years old. And here they were in old age, and yet they were given a promise by God that through Abraham, he would be a father of a nation that would end up being a blessing to all the nations, that through his lineage, all the nations would be blessed. And so Abraham believed God, and he went with him on this journey. And so he took this step of faith. Now we see that he only partially obeyed. He was told not to bring any of his father's household. And we know that he brought his brother's son, his nephew Lot, with him. And we know that on this journey, there were many times that Abraham had doubts. But we see here that Abraham continued to have constant conversation with God. And we see a few years later in this journey, in Genesis chapter 15, another conversation that Abraham has with God. We read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram had said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'The one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." And so we see that Abraham, even though sometimes he had doubts, he never came to the place of unbelief, and he believed in God. There's a difference between unbelief and doubt. Doubt sometimes is I believe, but I question. I don't know. I don't see. Unbelief says, I refuse to believe no matter what is taking place. And so Abraham did the right thing. When he had doubts, when he didn't understand, he went to God, and God comes here and reassures him. And we see that Abraham continues to place his trust in God. And because of that, it is accounted to him righteousness that has been imputed to him. Now we see that about 10 years into this journey, Abraham begins to wonder, look, I'm still without child. It was one thing to be 75, but now I'm 85. And he's looking at his wife, Sarah, and they began to say, well, maybe we need to help God out with this plan. And so Sarah ends up giving her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham, and Abraham ends up having relations with her and has the son Ishmael. Abraham also learned that it's important that we not only do things in the will of God, but that we also do them his way. And Abraham knew that he should not have cheated on his wife, that he should have had relations with another woman. And because of this, Ishmael ends up and his descendants become a challenge to Israel for the rest of their existence. And even today, we have the challenge between Ishmael descendants and the nation of Israel. But what we do see here is that Abraham continued to trust in God. And even though it would be actually 25 years later, we see that Sarah at the age of 90 and Abraham at the age of 100 gives birth to Isaac. And Isaac is now born, and Isaac is the promise, and Isaac is going to be used to give birth to Jacob, who becomes Israel and the 12 tribes. And now through all the descendants that would come eventually would come Jesus Christ, who would be Savior of the world and be the blessing to all the nations. And we see in chapter 22 that Abraham's faith is even stretched and shown to have grown, because he comes to the place where he's willing to sacrifice Isaac to be able to reveal his faith. During this time, he believes that if he would sacrifice Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. Notice what it says in Genesis 22, verse 5. It says, "And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" When Isaac was called to make this sacrifice, and he gets a picture of what God is going to do and give his son to die, he comes here and he knows the nature of God, and he knows that if he is to sacrifice his son, he knows that God will raise him from the dead. He has this faith, and he comes here and he says, "Listen, we will come back." We see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it reads, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." And we know that through Abraham, that the nation of Israel came into existence. And through these descendants, our Savior Jesus Christ comes to be this blessing to all the nations. And there was a hope that was promised, and there is a hope that has been delivered. And this hope was not only for Abraham's temporary blessing, but more importantly, Abraham knew about the eternal blessing. And he placed his faith in the promise of God and was assured that not only temporarily, but eternally, he would be blessed. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, and she bore a son when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand by which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And we see here that God did not just come and bless Abraham with a temporary blessing with Isaac and a new land that would become their country. But really what he blessed him with was the promise of a heavenly country, and that he would have a relationship with God, and that through him all the people would be blessed, and that one day all those people would dwell who have faith in God and the promise of this Messiah, the promised one. and that we would be able to be with him in heaven. And so as we see this story of hope, I want us to look at this passage in Romans that describes this story, and we see some lessons that we can learn about hope today. And I want us to look at six lessons real quickly this morning from this story. And the first is, I want you to see that grace is the source of this hope. Grace is the source of this hope. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. We see that it is grace that came upon Abraham. It wasn't something that Abraham was looking for. It wasn't that Abraham was coming after God. It was the fact that God was coming to Abraham to bless Abraham. There wasn't anything that Abraham did. There wasn't any merit that caused Abraham to be blessed. It was just God's goodness and his love and his blessing and his grace that came upon Abraham and gave him hope. And today I want you to know that there is hope for us because God's grace is still upon us. And I want you to see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and giving us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And just as Abraham needed hope and God provided that for him, today I want you to know the grace of God will give you hope today, and that the source of hope is God's grace. The second thing I want you to see is that faith is required to access God's hope. Again, notice in verse 16 and 17, it reads, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed. We see here that it was the faith of Abraham, his belief, that allowed him to access this hope. Abraham demonstrated his belief. And we see here that this faith was not just this mental thinking. It was not just words that were expressed, but we can see Abraham's faith by his actions. And I want you to understand that action will always follow true faith. We see that Abraham left his father's home. We see that he left the comforts of his homeland. We see that he was willing to continue to hold and believe this promise as he continued to go to God. We see that even after Isaac is born, his faith is incredible as he's willing to even sacrifice his son because he believes that God will raise him from the dead. We need to understand that faith is not passive, but it is active. And when we have active faith, and we are putting our trust in God, not just in our words, but in our actions, that is when we can begin to realize the true hope that we have in God. And today I want you to examine your life and say, how are your actions revealing what you truly believe? Today, are you living as if you have hope, or are you living in defeat? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And while we can't see it, we know that our God is real. We know that our God is good, and we know that his promises are true. And today, if you are a believer, today I want you to exercise your faith. And go to him and not just have words of faith, but have actions of faith, so that hope can be manifested in your life and can be seen and be an encouragement to others. Third thing I want you to see is that hope will be challenged. Notice what it says in verse 18, who contrary to hope, and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. It was one thing that Abraham comes at 75 and Sarah's 65 and they're here and they hear this promise and they're willing to act, but they had to wait 25 years. Their hope was challenged. It was tested. He was as seen as dead, and Sarah's womb was seen as dead. And this is the reality, that faith is going to be tested. Hope is going to be tested. But if we will persevere, then we demonstrate that our faith is genuine and that our hope is truly in God, and that we know that He will come through. And sometimes you're not going to see light at the end of the tunnel. And sometimes the circumstances are going to be difficult and overwhelming. And sometimes we're not going to know how things are going to work out, and we don't see the solution. But I want you to know that God is real, and God is there, and that He will not leave us or forsake us. And that as we put our faith in Him, God is going to come through. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." And this is what Abraham came to know and be able to believe, that even though he didn't see it, even though he had to wait, "God, I believe that You will come through," and God did. And Christian, I want you to be encouraged today, that you may be going through difficult times and you may not see a way out, but I can tell you that God is doing something in our midst, and we may have to wait and we may have to hold on. But I want you to know that God's going to come through. And even though our hope is challenged, it's okay, because He will prove Himself and He will deliver. Our God is one that we can trust in and is faithful. The fourth thing I want you to see is that hope is in a person and not a thing. Notice it says, in verse 20 and 21, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was also able to perform." And so the trust was not in the promise, but the trust was in the One who made the promise. And this is where hope comes from. Not that something can be promised, but that in the One who actually makes the promise is able to deliver. And this is the hope that we have, that God says to us today that even the bad things in this life, even the things that are difficult, God is at work to those who loved Him to be able to bring good from those things. And here we have to realize that Abraham came to the place as he went through this journey, that this was going to be a land that God was going to show him. How did Abraham know where he was supposed to go? Because he had to constantly stay in a relationship with God. And he would always have to continue to go to God to get direction and to get wisdom and to hear from Him. And when Abraham had doubts, he would always need to go to God to be able to get clarification and to be reminded and to be renewed. And the same thing is true for us. It's not that our hope is in heaven. It's not that our hope is in a place one day where we will get a mansion. It's not that it is a place of no sickness and no pain and no death. The hope is in the fact that we have a God who can make this promise and is able to perform and deliver what He says He is going to do. And this is the key, and it always has been. It's about the relationship. And Abraham, as he went on this journey, realized that his promise about having a son and about having a land and being a father of a great nation was all good. But what Abraham got most out of this was that he got to know God. And I believe that as we go through these times where we have to put our hope in God, at the end of this, we have to keep putting our faith there. And what we're all going to come to realize is that the blessing of all this is going to be that we're going to know God greater. And so I want to encourage you, Christian, to spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, spend time listening to God and truly develop that relationship, and you're going to find that God will bring comfort and peace and hope as you go through this journey. The fifth thing I want you to see is that God's grace sees only the faith. And I love this. In verse 22, it says, "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." And we see that because Abraham believed God, that it was imputed, it was given to him that he was righteous. And again, this wasn't deserved. This wasn't merited. It was received by faith. It was grace received by faith. Just as the Bible says, we are saved by grace through faith. And this imputed righteousness was given to Abraham. And so when Abraham's life is examined by God, and we read in Hebrews chapter 11, and we read here in Romans chapter 4, we don't read about the times that Abraham doubted, and the times that he went and did his own thing, and the times that he didn't trust God and lied. Well, what we see is that God removes the sin, that he is as far as the east is from the west, that he doesn't remember it anymore. And what he sees is he sees great faith, and he sees the faith, and in the righteousness has been given to him. And so there's a celebration that there's been this trust in God. And this is what is celebrated. And this is what God does in our life. Our sin has been washed away. We should not live in shame and guilt. God doesn't hold it against us anymore. We don't need to keep bringing it up to him, because he has said, listen, if you have trusted that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty and rose again, it's forgiven. It's forgotten. Move on. And this is exactly what we see here in Abraham as he reflects and looks at Abraham's life. He sees faith. And we see in Genesis that Abraham did have times of doubt. And there's times when we have times of doubt. Maybe today, if you're honest, you have times of anxiety and worry and doubt. But I want you to continue to remember not to have unbelief, which says I won't keep believing and I won't believe no matter what. But if you have doubts, do as Abraham did and go to God and allow God to reassure you. Listen, my promise is true and you can trust me, and I am working in this. And this is what we need to remember, that what God is going to remember us is that we keep on believing, that we keep on trusting. And isn't that comforting today? And then the last thing I want you to see here is that hope is about glorifying God. And we see here in verses 23 through 25, it says, Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And we need to understand this blessing that came upon Abraham wasn't about Abraham. It was about God and his mission. It was about bringing him the ultimate glory. It was about redeeming mankind. It was about pointing to Jesus, that one day he would be the true seed. He would be the descendant. He would be the one who would bless all nations, that we, all who are of faith, are descendants of Abraham, not through his blood, but because we have the same faith as he has, that any who will believe in the Messiah, the promised one, will have their sins forgiven. And they will have eternal life, and they will have this righteousness imputed to them. And we see that Abraham had to believe in what was to come, and he did. And what we believe is in the Messiah who has come, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and he paid our penalty for sin. He died for you and for me. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to understand that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin. The wages of sin is death. And if you die in your sin, then the Bible says that you will have to pay that penalty, that your sin you will carry with you, and you will be separated from God. And this is not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. But I want you to understand that what Jesus did on the cross was pay that sin in full. And he said, it is finished. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And you can't earn it, and you can't work for it, and you can't deserve it, and you can't buy it. But this is the truth. If you will be like Abraham and you will just have faith and believe, just as it says here that Jesus died for your sins and 3 days later rose again from the dead, you can have hope and you can have eternal life. And the story of Abraham was to be an example for us today, to believe and to be able to know that there is hope because of Jesus. And I want you to understand today that we need to be hope for others, that our life isn't about us, but it's still about God's mission, and we need to be about his purpose. The last thing I want us to look at is this example of hope, and to realize that today we can't look at our circumstances, but we need to be able to look at God. And that these things, as it says here, were written so that we would truly put our trust in Jesus Christ, that we would realize that he died for our sins and that he rose again from the dead. And that even though we face maybe the darkest time that we have faced in our lifetime, I want you to know that there is genuine hope, that God is at work, and that we can rest knowing that not only is God preparing a paradise for us, but that even here and now that God is working, and that God is going to come through, and we need to continue to have our hope in God, that victory is assured. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And I can say the coronavirus. And as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, I want you to realize that there's an example of hope that was given, not just in Abraham, but in Jesus. Jesus died for our sin and he rose again, and he's alive today. And he is our source of strength. He is our source of hope. And today, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, I hope today will be the day that you will put your faith in him. And Christian, I hope today you will make the decision to live for this hope and be an example to others and to point people to Jesus so they will know there is hope in this world. Viktor Frankl, who was an Australian psychotherapist who was in the concentration camps and put in prison in Auschwitz during the Second World War, realized something strange as he talked with other doctors and observations he made himself. That as people went into these camps, which were marked by death, that those who survived were not necessarily those who were physically young and healthy. Because there were many old and frail people who lived and survived more than the young and the healthy. But what was the key to people surviving was a sense that there was a sense of purpose and hope for the future. And today, Christian, We know that there is hope for the future because we know that there is a God who is in control of all this, who is holding us. And I hope today that not only that we're looking for hope for our body, but that we have hope for our soul. As we can sing of that great song, it is well with our soul because we have hope and we know that we know that we know that our God is holding us and loving us and working good even in the midst of this trial. Let's pray. Father, I just want to come before you this morning and I want to pray for those who may be listening today who, if they were honest, they're hopeless. And Lord, maybe this is their last ditch effort to really find hope. And Lord, today you have met them and you've revealed to them that the source of hope is not found inside of ourselves, but it's outside of us. And it's in the promise of Jesus Christ. Just as Abraham had to believe that one day through his descendants would come the Savior, and that the Savior would be the hope of the world. Lord, today we place our faith in knowing that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for the penalty of our sin and rose again 3 days later. And I just pray that if there's someone today who needs to begin that relationship with you, that today they would just say this simple prayer. Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I have done things wrong, that I have done things my way. Lord, that I'm overcome by fear, I'm hopeless. And Lord, I recognize that because I've done things my way, Lord, there's been these consequences. And I realize today, God, that there is still hope in knowing that Jesus died to take the penalty of my sin, that I don't have to suffer that. And 3 days later, he rose again to give me an assurance of life. Not only that there will be heaven one day, but right now I can have peace, I can have joy, and I can have hope. And so, Lord, I ask Jesus that you would save me and come into my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.